Welcome to episode 998 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
Shalom, my friend. I can see there is something heavy on your heart. What troubles you?
Shalom, Paul. I've been wrestling with your teachings about Jesus. I want to believe truly I do. But how can I reconcile the idea that the Messiah, the Son of God, could be crucified? You know as well as I do that the Torah says, anyone who is hanged on a tree is under God's curse. How could the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, be cursed?
Ah, yes, Deuteronomy 21:23. I understand why that verse troubles you. The cross was indeed a symbol of shame, a curse. But let me tell you something that sounds foolish to many. The gospel is the word of the cross. The very thing that seems impossible, that the Messiah could be cursed, was the way God chose to bring salvation to all.
But Paul, how can the Messiah, the anointed one of God, be cursed? Wouldn't that disqualify him from being God's chosen? The Messiah is supposed to restore Israel, not bear its curse.
You're right, the Messiah is meant to restore Israel. But the restoration was never merely political or national. It was spiritual. The problem that needed to be addressed wasn't just Roman occupation, but the sin that enslaves us all. Yes, the law says that anyone hanged on a tree is cursed, but what if I told you that Jesus willingly bore that curse, not for his own sins, but for ours?
Bear our curse? How could that be? God's law is just, and each person is responsible for their own sin.
Exactly. God's law is just, and because of that, none of us could stand before him as righteous. Every one of us is under the curse of sin. The Messiah, who was without sin, took on our curse so that we could be set free from it.
So you're saying the Messiah took the punishment that we deserved?
Yes. Think about the sacrificial system, my friend. In the temple, the blood of lambs was spilled to cover the sins of the people. But those sacrifices were only a shadow of what was to come. They pointed to a greater sacrifice, the true Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. Jesus is that Lamb. He bore the full weight of our sins on the cross, so that we could be reconciled to God.
But the idea of a crucified Messiah, it's so hard to accept. The cross is a symbol of defeat and humiliation, not victory.
I understand. The cross does appear as defeat in the eyes of the world. But what looks like defeat was actually the greatest victory. Through his death, Jesus disarmed the powers of sin and death. It's the very paradox of the gospel. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. His death wasn't a sign of weakness, but of God's power to save.
It's difficult to comprehend. The Messiah's mission being fulfilled in death, not in triumph over Israel's enemies, but over sin itself.
Yes, and his resurrection is the proof. God raised him from the dead, vindicating him as the true Messiah. The curse of the cross didn't have the final word. Life did. Jesus triumphed over death, and through him, we have hope of eternal life.
If what you say is true, then Jesus didn't just die. He defeated death itself.
Exactly. His resurrection is our guarantee that death has been swallowed up in victory.
It's starting to make sense, Paul. I see now that the cross, which seemed like a stumbling block, is actually the key to redemption.
Yes, my friend. The stumbling block becomes a stepping stone to life.
Hebrews 9 verse 15 reveals Jesus' death as a sacrifice served to bring redemption for the sins committed under the first covenant, so that God's people could receive the promise of eternal inheritance. In the ancient Near East, covenants between individuals or nations were binding agreements made under oath, with the understanding that divine punishment would follow if the covenant was broken. These agreements were often sealed by sacrificing an animal. In God's covenant with Israel, obedience to the law gave them the right to inherit the promised land. This agreement included the sprinkling of blood on the altar, symbolizing the consequences for violating the covenant. As Hebrews 9 verse 22 states, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. When Israel violated the covenant, God faced a dilemma. The law required punishment for the guilty, but God's love for his people compelled him to seek a way to save them. Ignoring their sins would undermine his justice and order. To resolve this, Jesus, the Son of God, offered himself as a substitute. He took on the punishment for our sins so that we could receive the promised eternal inheritance. By doing this, Jesus upheld God's law and saved those who had broken it, achieving this salvation through the cross. Jesus' death provided forgiveness or remission for our sins. The remission of our sins, however, involves much more than the cancellation of the penalty for our transgression of the covenant. It involves other elements as important. That is why the Israelite sacrificial system had five different kinds of sacrifices. Each was necessary to express the richness of the meaning of the cross of Christ. These various Old Testament offerings, including the burnt, grain, peace, sin, and guilt offerings, symbolized different aspects of Jesus' sacrifice, representing his complete offering of himself, his provision of eternal life, his role in bringing peace, his blood that redeems from sin, and the responsibility for restitution alongside God's forgiveness. They both point to the comprehensive nature of Jesus' salvation and the implications this has for believers. In Hebrews, Jesus' sacrifice is portrayed as unique and superior to the sacrifices made by Levitical priests. Unlike the many priests of the Old Covenant, who offered sacrifices daily and annually, but could never fully cleanse the conscience of the worshipers, Jesus offered himself as a single sacrifice that was once and for all. This sacrifice, made by the Son of God who perfectly fulfilled God's will, permanently atoned for sin and cleansed believers' consciences in a way the sacrifices of animals never could. The finality and effectiveness of Jesus' sacrifice highlight its superiority over the repeated, imperfect offerings of the Old Testament. Jesus' sacrifice not only removes sin, but also sanctifies and consecrates believers, allowing us to approach God with confidence. By fulfilling all the different types of sacrifices in the Old Testament, Jesus' death provides forgiveness, spiritual cleansing, and the empowerment to live a life free from the bondage of sin. His offering also sets an example for us to follow, inviting believers to fix our eyes on Jesus and the cross, and live in alignment with his will, serving as part of the royal priesthood under the new covenant. Through his perfect sacrifice, we find not only redemption, but also the strength and direction for spiritual growth. Hebrews 9 verses 22 to 28 explains the work of Christ in the heavenly sanctuary, drawing a connection to the Old Testament sanctuary system. In the Old Testament, the sanctuary represented God's government and character. How God dealt with sin reflected on his fairness and justice, since he carried the responsibility of forgiving sinners while remaining just. When God forgave sins, he bore them himself, symbolically transferring guilt into the sanctuary, which became contaminated by those sins. This connection helps to explain why the heavenly sanctuary requires cleansing, as it parallels the earthly system where God's mercy and justice meet. In the Israelite sacrificial system, forgiveness was depicted through the offering of an animal on behalf of the sinner. When the sinner confessed over the animal, the sin was symbolically transferred to the sanctuary through the sprinkling of its blood. Throughout the year, this process temporarily placed sin upon the sanctuary. The culmination of this system occurred on the Day of Atonement, a day of judgment when God cleared the sanctuary of sin by transferring guilt to the scapegoat, representing Satan. This allowed God to maintain justice while providing mercy to those who faithfully confessed their sins. The two-phase cleansing system of the earthly sanctuary, which mirrored the heavenly sanctuary, highlighted both God's mercy and justice. Throughout the year, sinners who sought forgiveness aligned themselves with God's plan, while those who refused repentance were cut off on the Day of Atonement. This system emphasizes the serious cost of sin and the incredible mercy extended to humanity through Christ's sacrifice. By understanding the just punishment we deserve, we can better appreciate Christ's role in bearing our sins and securing our salvation. The sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross was the ultimate fulfillment of God's covenant with humanity, providing a way for sinners to be forgiven and restored to a relationship with him. The cross reveals both the justice and mercy of God. Justice, in that sin was fully paid for, and mercy in that Jesus bore the punishment we deserved. Through his once-for-all sacrifice, Jesus not only cleansed us from sin, but also made it possible for us to live in his righteousness and experience eternal life. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Help us to live in the light of his sacrifice, experiencing the forgiveness, grace, and new life that he offers. Guide us to reflect his love and righteousness in all that we do. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest, today.